Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Capitalist Manifesto. Why the Global Free Market Will Save the World is a 2023 work of political economy by Swedish author and historian Johan Norberg. Written as a contemporary defense of capitalism, it responds to growing suspicion of globalization, free trade, private property, and market competition among both progressive and nationalist critics. Norberg argues that the global free market has been the main institutional engine behind modern improvements in poverty reduction, health, education, innovation, and personal freedom. The book is not a technical economics textbook, but a data-rich public argument that combines history, moral philosophy, and policy criticism. It updates themes from Norberg's earlier work on global capitalism while addressing newer concerns about inequality, climate change, industrial policy, supply chains, and geopolitical rivalry. Its purpose is to show why capitalism should be corrected where it fails, but not abandoned for systems built on coercion, protectionism, or centralized control. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, property rights and voluntary exchange as the moral core of capitalism. Norberg presents capitalism as an institutional order based on private ownership, market coordination, and voluntary labor and exchange. This matters because his defense does not begin with corporate profits or stock markets, but with individual agency. Property rights give people reasons to maintain, improve, and invest in resources because they can expect to benefit from long-term stewardship. Without secure ownership, effort is vulnerable to confiscation, political favoritism, or arbitrary power. Voluntary exchange then turns private interest into mutual benefit, since a transaction occurs only when both sides expect to gain. In this framework, profit is not treated as a moral stain by itself. It is evidence that someone has produced something others value more than the inputs used to create it. Norberg contrasts this with systems that rely more heavily on command, permissions, or ideological conformity. His moral claim is that capitalism allows people to pursue different visions of the good life without forcing one collective plan on everyone. This is why the book repeatedly frames markets as a defense of human dignity, not merely a mechanism for efficiency. Secondly, globalization as a driver of poverty reduction and rising living standards. A central empirical claim of the book is that the expansion of global capitalism after the late 20th century coincided with major improvements in human welfare. Norberg points to broad trends such as falling extreme poverty, longer lives, better access to education, and rising consumption possibilities in countries that open themselves to trade, investment, and entrepreneurship. His argument is not that every society benefited equally or that markets automatically solve all problems. Rather, he emphasizes that the largest gains appeared where people gained better access to global production networks, foreign customers, new technologies, and competitive pressures. He also challenges the view that global prosperity is a zero-sum contest in which one country can advance only by impoverishing another. Trade allows specialization, scale, and knowledge transfer, so the same exchange can improve the position of both buyer and seller. For Norberg, the unequal distribution of capitalism is more important than the unequal distribution within capitalism. Countries that lack secure markets, rule of law, and openness remain poorer because people there have fewer routes to create, trade, and accumulate productive knowledge. Thirdly, decentralized markets as stronger engines of innovation than central planning, Norberg devotes significant attention to the question of where innovation comes from. He disputes the view that major technological progress is primarily the result of state planning, mission setting, or industrial policy. Governments can fund research and create useful infrastructure, but Norberg argues that they rarely know in advance which experiments will matter, which consumer needs will emerge, or which combinations of technologies will prove transformative. Markets perform this discovery function through dispersed trial and error. Entrepreneurs, engineers, investors, workers, and customers constantly test ideas under conditions of uncertainty. Prices, profits, losses, and competition provide feedback that no central planner can fully replicate. The point is not that private actors are always wise, or that all innovation is noble. It is that decentralized systems can process more local knowledge and tolerate more experimentation than bureaucratic systems that must justify choices politically. Norberg uses this reasoning to criticize fashionable enthusiasm for national champions and targeted industrial strategy. In his account, innovation is often messy, cumulative, and unexpected, so society should protect openness, competition, and permissionless experimentation rather than assuming that expert committees can design progress from above. Fourthly, protectionism and populism as threats to the gains of open markets. The book is sharply concerned with the return of protectionist thinking across the political spectrum. Norberg argues that both left-leaning and right-leaning populists increasingly describe the global economy as a geopolitical struggle over factories, supply chains, jobs, and strategic industries. In response, they call for tariffs, subsidies, reshoring mandates, and political control over production. Norberg sees these policies as dangerous because they protect existing interests at the expense of consumers, taxpayers, new firms, and poorer trading partners. Tariffs raise prices and reduce choice, while subsidies often reward firms with political access rather than firms that create genuine value. He also argues that national self-sufficiency is often mistaken for resilience. A country that depends only on domestic suppliers can be more fragile if local shocks occur, while diversified global networks can offer alternative sources. This does not mean ignoring security risks or unfair practices, but it does mean resisting the assumption that more state direction automatically produces strength. For Norberg, openness disciplines monopolies, spreads knowledge, and prevents economic power from becoming too closely fused with political power. Lastly, market-based environmentalism and the limits of centralized climate policy. Norberg does not dismiss environmental problems or deny the seriousness of human-caused climate change. Instead, he argues that capitalism offers better tools for environmental improvement than systems built around centralized allocation and weak property rights. His reasoning begins with incentives. When resources are unowned, politically controlled, or treated as open access commons, users have fewer reasons to conserve them, because the costs of degradation are shifted onto others. Secure property rights, liability rules, pricing mechanisms, and technological competition can make environmental costs visible and encourage cleaner behavior. Norberg also emphasizes the role of wealth. Richer societies usually have more capacity to invest in pollution control, cleaner energy, resilient infrastructure, and scientific research. Poverty, by contrast, often forces people and governments to prioritize immediate survival over long-term environmental care. The book does not claim that markets require no rules. Environmental externalities are a real problem. Its argument is that policies should harness innovation and incentives rather than suppress growth through degrowth or heavy centralized planning. In this sense, Norberg treats climate policy as a reason to improve market institutions, not a reason to abandon them. In conclusion, The Capitalist Manifesto is best suited for readers who want a clear, contemporary defense of free markets without needing advanced training in economics. Students, policy professionals, journalists, entrepreneurs, and politically engaged general readers will find it useful as a structured response to common criticisms of capitalism, including inequality, climate change, monopoly power, deindustrialization, and global dependency. Its practical benefit is argumentative clarity. It gives readers a framework for understanding why property rights, trade, competition, and decentralized experimentation matter in everyday life, from consumer choice to technological progress. Its intellectual benefit is that it connects moral claims about freedom with empirical claims about global development. Compared with many books in the same genre, it stands out because it does not merely celebrate business or economic growth. Norberg positions capitalism as a broad social order that protects voluntary cooperation and disperses power. It is also distinctive because it addresses critics from both the left and the right, especially the modern convergence around protectionism and state direction. Readers looking for a detailed policy manual may want more specific institutional proposals, and those already opposed to capitalism may dispute its optimism. Still, as a concise and wide-ranging case for global free markets in an anti-globalization era, the book is unusually accessible, current, and evidence-oriented. If you would like to support Johan Norberg, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.